now in their 60s. All their lives, they had talked about going to Europe together. And one Christmas, that's what they gave as their gift to each other. So January, off they go. First stop's London. And the one sister calls home, and her husband, almost the first thing he says is, our cat Lucy died. And this woman said, how can you be so insensitive just to break it to me that way? And husband's going, well, what do you mean? She said, well, give me a chance to get used to it. Well, what do you mean? He said, well, we're in London first. Just tell me that the cat, you couldn't find the cat, and someone said that the cat's on the roof. And then I'll call you from Paris. You could have told me then that, well, the cat fell off the roof. And then you could have called me from Rome and said, the cat isn't doing so well. And by the time we're at our last stop in Vienna, you could have said, sorry, but the cat died. He said, okay, I think I get it. She said, well, how's the dog doing? And he got quiet and he said, he's on the roof? There's no good way to give bad news. And Christmas, with all its good news, has to first be a story of bad news. It's the very context of Christmas. It's the very backdrop of Christmas that light shines into darkness. And even when we pick up what John says about Christmas, you've heard today the Christmas story from Luke, from Matthew. But when John talks about Jesus coming, it's interesting. He says in John 1:9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Light had to come into the world. Why? Verse 10, he was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. That's the bad news that gives life to Christmas. That's darkness. The God who made this world looked down and recognized that that world he made no longer recognized him. Before Christmas is good news, it has to address the bad news that we are a dark world. Nowhere in the Bible does it say Jesus came as light in our dimness. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that Jesus looked down and the sparkle in the brightness of the world he made wasn't there anymore, so he thought he'd come down to brighten it up a little. He came into a dark world. A world in which these themes of hope and love and joy and peace, humanity's turned our back on God and said, we're going to try and figure it out on our own, and we might get a little ways. But he said, ultimately, there is no life, light, hope, joy, love, peace. There is none of that, ultimately, without him. And so he came as light into our darkness. And John, both in his gospel, the Gospel of John, and a letter he wrote, 1 John, he begins giving us the big view Christmas story from heaven, where he looked at a dark world where creation had turned its back on the light. And he said, I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to come into that light. And in that first few verses of his gospel and that first few verses of his letter, he says a few things about that light that I want to talk about this morning. The first thing is that the light really has come. This is real. Since last Friday, millions of people have lined up at movie theaters and crowded their way in, and they've sat through all those commercials and the trailers, waiting for when the screen would go black, and then those words would show up right before the symphony would hit that note, and it would say, a long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. And the music would begin, and then the crawl, and away would start episode 8. Of Star Wars happened a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Just those 10 words, though, tell us it really didn't happen. It's fiction. It's a great story. But it's a story that didn't really happen. We're introduced to the planet Crait, where there's a rebel base, but I don't think anyone who's really thinking is looking for the planet Crait. But I can go to a map and I can show you Bethlehem. I've been there. It's a real town. And we're introduced again, as we were in episode 7, to Rey, the last Jedi. But no one believes she really exists out there. Yet this world is filled with the footprints of a real person named Jesus. A real person who came fully God, fully human, born of this young virgin in Bethlehem, grew up, lived in that area, died on a cross, and rose again. One historian, Gary Habermas, has documented 39 sources outside of the Bible that corroborate 100 facts or more around the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection and the teaching of Jesus. It really happened. Why does that matter? Because our hope and our love and our joy and our peace, it doesn't hinge on the 8th episode of Star Wars. But it absolutely hinges on what happened in Bethlehem when Jesus came. And in Jerusalem where he died and rose again. These events really happened. And in their happening, Jesus said, I am God. I've come to tell you it's a dark world. And the Bible said, as you heard read, he didn't come to condemn the world. He came to tell us we've condemned ourselves. We've turned our back on God. But he said, I've come, God, in the flesh, to bring good news. What is that good news? Well, if the first truth about this light is that it really has come, the second truth is this. That light shines the very life of God. The light of Jesus shines the very life of God. Came across a story, a little book by Lee Strobel. It's called Case for Christmas. He tells a story there, kind of a slow news day, and he was called to, it was the end of November, there had been a fire in a very poor area, and he was called to just cover some of the human interest stories. He met this 60-year-old woman, Perfecta was her name, Perfecta Delgado. She had two granddaughters. These two granddaughters, 11 and 13, now lived in a two-room tiny apartment. He entered the apartment. There's nothing but one kitchen table. The cupboards are bare except for a little bit of rice. He hears the story about how their half a mile walk through that cold Chicago weather to school. They had each a very thin dress and one thin sweater that one would wear halfway, the other half. He had never seen such poverty, and yet here's this 60-year-old woman talking about a faith in Jesus and exuding a hope and a joy and a peace that he certainly didn't know. And he wrote, as this callous journalist, their story, kind of packed it away. It's Christmas Eve, another slow news day. He had some time to check out how they were doing, and he went. And as he met them, he was first of all surprised because he had written their story. There had been this outpouring, and now there was furniture, and there was food, and there were gifts. But what he couldn't believe is they weren't planning how to store it all for the year. He met them planning how to give most of it away. And he said, what are you doing? You got nothing. This will last you for a while. And they said, how? This is a gift from God. How can we not share it with those who have now less than we do? And then that 60-year-old wise woman said, and you know what? Even though this gift came from us and we didn't deserve it, and it's just like God dropped it in on us, It's not the greatest gift of Christmas. No, that's what we celebrate tomorrow when we celebrate the coming of Jesus. In response to that, here's what Lee Strobel, calloused journalist, atheist, wrote at the time. He said, they had peace despite poverty. Well, I had anxiety despite plenty. They knew the joy of generosity, where I only knew the loneliness of ambition. They looked heavenward for hope, while I only looked outward for myself. They experienced the wonder of the spiritual, while I was shackled to the shallowness of the material. And something made me long for what they had, or more accurately, for the one they knew. Maybe as I read that today, something in there triggers with you, because we live in this land of affluence, and yet do we know the life that John said shone when Jesus came? 1 John 1:2, the life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father has appeared to us. Jesus is the source of this life. John, writing his gospel, verses 4 and 5, in him, in Jesus, was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. When Jesus came, he came, the very life of God. And did this world try and overcome him? You bet. Try to get him to sin. He wouldn't. He would not turn his back on the Father. Not at all. He knew deep down in his humanity that there was a God in heaven. And in the mystery of him being fully God too, continued to remain faithful to the Father. This world tried to overcome him even at the point of a cross where he was nailed there. In the shadow of the manger, there is that cross. When he died, the Bible said somehow this life came to give of himself that we might have life. And in dying on the cross, this gift of Jesus, in some mysterious way, died to pay a penalty for our sin, our turning our back on God. And now we get this amazing offer. John 1, verse 11, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, verse 12, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. There it is. He gave the right to be restored to him, that once again we might know hope, love, joy, peace, not only now, for forever. This eternal life has come. This Christmas, John wants you to know that in a little town called Bethlehem, a long time ago, God visited our planet. He came because we had turned our back on him and walked out on life, but he came to give this life, even to the point of dying on a cross and rising again. And if you're not sure on that, he's saying, first of all, check out the evidence, because I testify it's true. And once you have recognized this is the word of God, so we just can't take it or leave it, we are not kind of dark, needing a little bit of help. Our worlds are dark, needing the life of God. Jesus died to give us that. And maybe this Christmas, he's saying, get on the journey. For some of you, it might be brand new. The greatest gift you can give yourself this Christmas is pursuing Jesus and his truth. Here at church, we're going to start a little course called Alpha, end of January. Every Wednesday night is a meal, time to look at who Jesus is through some videos, ask your questions, seek it out. We're giving you a little book at the back if this is new to you. It's called Who Is This Child by John Ortberg. Just the beginning, and you can have that. It's at the back, of looking into who Jesus is. But it's a gift it's too important not to open. So John wants us to know into our darkness, into the bad news that we are separated from God for now and forever. No hope of ultimate love, joy, hope, peace, apart from him. Jesus actually came to shine light into that darkness. He came to offer us a life of God But the last thing he wants us to know is he also came to offer us life with God. Life with God. I think sometimes we think, okay, there's Christmas, there's Easter, we talk about this life with God, and then we go and we do our thing, but can it really make a difference in how I live day by day by day? And John is saying, absolutely. We go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 says, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, here it is, so that you may also have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That word fellowship. Now, if you've been here, even if you've been around the church for any length of time, you go, well, there's a churchy word. We don't use that word in the real world. And sometimes by its overuse in the church, we've kind of downplayed it too. It's come to mean kind of weak and bad coffee with some really good cake. And that's fellowship. And that's not the word at all. Okay? The word fellowship, it's a word that was used back there for an association of people who had relationship. But even that word, what does that mean? Relationship and involvement. Involvement. If you had fellowship with someone, they were involved in your life. Fellowship is the with word. John is saying, Jesus came so that once again, he can be involved in our lives day by day by day. That's the word. That's amazing. What does that look like? Well, it looks like this. It was over 6 years ago now. I got that phone call no one wants. Well, your dad's in the hospital. We think he's got some infection. You know the chemo he's on. He doesn't have any immune system. And I remember driving seemingly alone to that hospital in Calgary, no one else in the car, and yet I'm able to talk to God because of fellowship, because he's involved, because he's with me. And say, God, I don't know what these next hours, days are going to hold, but I need you. And there's this amazing sense I'm not alone. As we had to walk through decisions around when to stop treatment, be in that room when that which was keeping him alive was turned off and he went into eternity. God was in that room dealing over the next days and weeks with mom's dementia. At times, overwhelmed, and yet God was involved. The total opposite side of the spectrum. This past September, holding in my arms my first grandchild and smiling and somehow in the midst of us, could I see God? No, but looking at her and knowing this is no accident. This is an incredible creation, and in my heart of hearts saying, thank you, God, and knowing the involvement of his smile. That's fellowship. Fellowship is not having a clue what I'm supposed to say on Christmas Eve. And saying, God, what do you want me to say? And no voices, no bells, no handwriting on a wall, but doing a little bit of reading someone had written on 1 John. And this quiet sense that that's it, Lyle. Tell them what John said about me coming to give them life. And then getting to this point and going, how do I illustrate? In a sense, just tell them your story. But be honest. And honestly, I have to admit that there are many times, rather than fellowshipping with, I get fiercely independent. And I forget that God is with me, and I forget he wants to be involved. And I say yes without praying, and I make decisions, and it typically leads to anxiety and because all of a sudden I think it's up to me forget that my fellowship was the God who made me and restored me through his son Jesus when he came to earth and died on a cross. So this Christmas, I hate to break it to you. There's bad news. It's a dark world. A world that's turned its back on God. But into that, here's the good news. Jesus has come as light. He really came. And if right now you're at a place to go, I'm glad you can believe it, I'm struggling, look at the evidence. It's too important. Because if it really happened, God visited our planet. And when it's all said and done, it's the Creator's opinion that matters, no one else's. If you're here today and you believe it happened, the next thing John would want you to know, his life came that night. Real hope, joy, love, peace. It's all going to happen fully in heaven someday, but it's already broken into the world, and we have to receive it. We have to say, God, I know my life's dark without you, and I need you. I believe you came to earth, Lord Jesus. You died on a cross. You rose again somehow in my place. I received that. Maybe it's something you need to receive right now, or it's something you need to go, I need to look into that. I believe for most of us here, we've already opened that gift. But like me, we're this combination of fierce independence and fellowship. Me doing it on my own and remembering God wants to be involved. And this Christmas, he came to say, I'm here as a gift, but I'm a gift that I offer you every day. Let me be involved in what hurts, in what you don't get, in your joy, in your decisions, in your relationships. Where do you need today to say, God, I need your good involvement, your leading. And even if it isn't easy, I'm going to follow. Because yours is the way of life. Light has come to the world, a dark world. Light has come to your darkness. Will you let it shine? Let's pray. God, you are light. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have come as light. Shining that light into our darkness. Father, this isn't another story. We go to Star Trek one weekend and the Christmas story the next. This is different. This really happened. Thank you that it really happened, and because it really happened, everything's different. And God, my prayer is that we will not be content to let darkness have the last word, because darkness cannot overcome light. May each of us, whatever that looks like right now, determine we will walk one more step into the light. Either pursuing the truth, the evidence of who you are, going deeper into what that means for our lives, maybe today taking the step of receiving that gift for those of us who have, to just bring you what seems so dark, And just say, God, shine your light, the light of your good and godly and wise involvement. Come, Lord Jesus, we adore you.